This is Community Voices. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. Today we'd like to welcome you to our special series exploring Illinois connections to the 250th anniversary of the United States, created in partnership with Illinois Humanities. This six-part series uplifts stories of people and places in Illinois that have contributed to bringing the ideals of the Declaration of Independence to life and have helped to shape the story of our nation. Today, we'll be exploring the music of Illinois, how music tells our story, how it connects to the history, people and places of our state. We have two guests joining us to talk about music, Dennis Stromat and Chris Villillo, both musicians with experience in the humanities. We'll let each of them introduce themselves. We'll start with Dennis.
I'm from southeastern Illinois. Musically, I've come from a couple different places. One of them that I always found fascinating was our French Creole history and the French Creole music from our area along the Wabash River. I grew up not too far from Vincennes, Indiana, which is heavily French, old French town founded in the 1730s. I spent a great deal of time in my late teens in the French Creole areas of southwestern Illinois. So I spent a lot of time in an area in Prairie de Roche, Illinois, where I learned to play French Creole fiddling. And I learned to speak Missouri and Illinois French, which is a different dialect of French. Not Cajun French, not Canadian French. It is its own dialect, essentially, and somewhere in the middle, as we are physically in the middle. Was enjoying learning the language and learning about some of our traditions that have existed here for 300 years. Somewhere along the way, I was accidentally preserving this music, our stories, preserving our language. I finally realized that that was an important task to do, so I've spent the better part of the last 30 years doing that.
Let's also get Chris to tell us about himself.
I did not begin my career as a musician. I actually got my degree in archaeology. Came to Western Illinois as a staff archaeologist for Western Illinois University in 1976. I did that for several years, and when the contract ran out, I decided to give up archaeology and dive headfirst into music, which had always been my greatest passion. Was involved in the 1980s through the Illinois Arts Council, documenting the last of the pre-radio generation of musicians in rural Illinois, doing folklore work. I was fascinated by the stories of the people, the music, immediately began to sense the connection between the music and the history. The more I did this, the more I began to see this connection between music and culture.
So move your families westward, bring all your girls and boys, and cross the Shawnee Ferry to the state of Illinois.
Music evokes a sense of place. Dennis, you were talking about the French area of Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, and what was your first experience that pulled you into that music? What was that moment as a kid where you said, I like this?
It was cultural at first and historical, because I can remember the rendezvous going all the way back to the mid-70s.
What's a rendezvous?
A rendezvous gathering, essentially, when people would dress up in costume from the 18th century and reenact time period, doing trading. They would do some mock battles, but then there would be musicians playing. I was always interested in that, and what was going on and how that was reflecting our history, the area along the Wabash. It was where I had this epiphany that the English weren't the people who founded Vincennes, that it was the French who founded Vincennes. And I started asking these questions. What happened to our French?
A lot of families and friends and communities are what get people started in music. We hear about the French immigration there that made a big difference in your history. Chris, what other key influences are there in Illinois music?
There are so many strong influences. I was initially attracted to the great songwriters in the Chicago area, Steve Goodman.
They're all out on the southbound Odyssey, and the train pulls out of Kankakee. Rolls past the houses, farms and fields, passing towns that have no name, and freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of rusted automobiles. Singing good morning America, how are you?
Michael Smith.
I used to be a young man, and dear Margaret remembers that.
J. John Prine.
Then the coal company came with the world's largest shovel, and they tortured the timber and stripped all the land.
People who used music as a vehicle to tell a story. I still focused on the songwriting, but I was also fascinated by the history and the cultural connection. It opened up this entire new connection of culture of all of these folks in rural Illinois to the music itself. I was so deeply struck by people. There was a guy, Homer Biedenbender, 96 years old. I interviewed him on a rainy afternoon. At some point, he brought out an old fiddle he had made. And initially, I thought it had been painted black. As I looked closer, I realized he'd carved it out of black walnut and lumber. He told me how he had done this because he didn't have any money to buy a fiddle of his own, but he had taught himself how to play the fiddle. That connection of how people would make things happen without resources we take for granted struck me as important. All of the ways that music connected with the community, with their dances, with their get-togethers, with the jam sessions that Dennis was talking about. That resonated very, very strongly with me.
This is Community Voices. We are talking about music that tells our story, how music connects us to the history, people, and places of our state. This is part of an Illinois 250 feature that we're doing with Illinois Humanities. Any unique type of music genre or instrument that has evolved out of Illinois?
The music that Dennis represents is a unique pocket of historical music. The thing that struck me as I was doing folklore work in Illinois, it was much more cosmopolitan than I expected. Where I was at, we had the Mississippi and the Illinois rivers kind of coming in on both sides. There was a lot of early development, but there was also a lot of communication via the steamboat lines and the riverways with major urban centers. When I was documenting old music, most of what I was finding had been commercial music from the middle 1800s that had just been absorbed into the folk music tradition. I didn't expect that. The one instrument in my region that seemed to be particularly hot, and it's not unique to Illinois, but we had a real hotbed of it in West Central Illinois, were hammer dulcimers. I came across at least six different builders within a 20-mile radius where I was documenting this music.
Dennis, how about you?
You might find that our style of French Creole music that essentially is Illinois French music, it's not Cajun music, kind of like our language is not Cajun. It is not Canadian. It is somewhere in between. Our songs oftentimes might even be rhythmically different than a similar version that might be in Canada. As well, it might be rhythmically and even lyrically different from one in Louisiana. You find examples of songs that we have that you take really sad ballads and something that seems to be typical of our French stylists, you know, the ancestors, is taking really sad songs and making them into dance tunes. There are tunes that the theme is not happy, but they took these songs and they turned them into fiddle tunes. They turned them into happy songs. They even literally took called songs like contra style songs where you call the dance and turned it into a lyric of a song. There are unique songs that exist that don't exist in other parts of the French-speaking world that exist here. And the fiddle probably being the predominant instrument, but we also utilize the bastring, or the triangle. In Louisiana, they call it the tifard. In Canada, the bastring. Same, essentially, pronunciation. Percussion is a part of our music. Foot stomping, rattles are even a part of our music. And that comes from Native American introduction in the cultural baggage, you might say, of our music in the area. That is unique to our music where it sits. Also growing up in Southern Illinois or Southeastern Illinois, I also grew up heavily around Western swing music, not bluegrass. Bluegrass was not here. That's a recent addition in the last 30 years, but Western swing music was here. That's because of the oil area, because we had Texans and Okies that came here in the 20s and left an imprint on musicians in the 1930s and 40s. We have our uniqueness.
You mentioned the foot stomp. Is there any other part of indigenous culture's music that has continued to be around to this day?
That's where it becomes murky. Using rattles, using percussion instruments, very different in some ways to other styles of French music or even what you would consider Celtic style music. Our French culture became such a blend. It's based on evidence from the Catholic Church, and it's based on evidence of even 23andMe, for example, of how many French have Native American ancestry. There were the first inhabitants of the first two generations were mainly men coming here in the early 1700s. There was a lot of intermarriage into the native tribes of the area. Culturally, Native American just became a part of not only the cultural DNA, physical DNA, but musical DNA. Becomes hard 300 years later to parse that out.
As we celebrate the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence and you reflect on music and independence in America and here in Illinois, how do you tie that together?
Music is the way you can trace the evolutions that Dennis is talking about. When cultures could not cross or meet together socially, music is the first place they begin to interact. It's a very powerful force in bringing people together. It goes places that we can't go ourselves.
Dennis, are there any particular songs as we are getting into the anniversary of the Declaration that you find tie to it well?
French music, there was what was known as the ringing of the Liberty Bell of the West that happened in Kaskaskia, a bell that was given to the French in Kaskaskia, which was Illinois' first state capital. That bell was also apparently rung, you know, when the Liberty Bell was rung, when we declared not only our independence, but later on, you know, in the establishment of the United States. French music was being performed there. Songs like La Guillonne, which is our New Year's song. Chevalier de la Table Ronde, Knights of the Round Table. These are songs that we know that were being performed at that time.
Chevalier de Table Ronde. Good to voir sur le vin est bon. Good to voir, oui, oui, good to voir, no, no. Good to voir sur le vin est bon. Good to voir, oui, oui, good to voir, no, no. Good to voir sur le vin est bon.
Songs that were performed when that bell was rung in Kaskaskia in honor of our new country. This was being done by people who were French. They were not English. They didn't really know that much about these Americans or Anglos. The idea was hoping for the best. I guess we're going to be a part of this. We also have an independent spirit. We also believe in independence. And the French of this area wanted to be independent from the English, just like Americans wanted to be independent from the English. And that's something that our Franco-Americans, our French, are just as American as Anglo-Americans, and more so in our area because our French were a part of it and literally giving roadmaps as the English came in. Those songs, special songs like the Guillonne, Chevalier, were probably played at the time.
If other Illinoisans or musicians are inspired by the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence and want to do something, what tips would you give them for trying to harness the two things, their desire to do something with music and the anniversary?
I have found that music can be a tremendous way to explore a historical theme because it has a visceral connection that can take you to a place. I have been very fortunate to be able to use that to create a whole series of shows that reflect different eras of history. If someone was interested in exploring this further, that would be a great place to start. Start to research the songs, and it's always, to me, the backstories of the songs that give you the greatest insights. The way the songs were used culturally, or the history of creating the songs. In our state, at least, Dennis's is in a more remote area that still has some unique pockets of early culture. Where I'm at, it was much more homogenized. You see a lot more of that music by the 1840s and 50s starting to develop, whereas his music comes back much earlier. But there's an awful lot of material out there where you can learn a song, research its backstory, and as a result of that, come away with a whole history lesson. That's a tremendous way to start to learn history, but it's a very accessible way too. Especially if you want to share that music and those stories with a group or just among yourselves. The stories really drive the music in my mind. That's what really keeps us all culturally connected. That's that glue that kind of holds us all together.
What's the future bring for Illinois in music?
We're positioned as a great byway musically because of the Mississippi River, because of the Ohio, the Great Lakes. That brings us music, and we have so many different styles. Illinois is a big, big state. Chris knows this well. We've both traveled it geographically every which way you can possibly think. You're always finding something new. Because we're a big state, I think that there is a lot of room for a lot of exploration for music in our state. And I think that we're always going to find new ways to reinvent the old. The nice thing about music, it's something that's live. and you do with other people. Yeah. That's what brings people together. You can only AI music so much. You got to make it yourself at some point. That's the magic of it.
I think of the Northern Migration and how it took the Delta blues up to Chicago and became electronic blues. Something else like that will emerge in the future. Chris, you wanted to add to that.
The Illinois and the Mississippi and the Ohio rivers and the Great Lakes, they were the super highways of the day. In the early 2000s, I was involved in another folklore project documenting the impact of the Mississippi River on arts. The conclusion that we came to was that these rivers were essentially cultural ecotones, where multiple cultures come together, cross, and in that small segment, you have twice as much culture, and then a whole hybrid of other things developing out of that. Illinois was a pioneer state in so many ways. Country music was developed here much more strongly than people associate with it, and a lot of it in the Chicago area. We had the first radio stations west of the Appalachian Mountains in Illinois. We are continuing to keep a very active music scene going. I'm seeing young people get involved again, which I love. I'm seeing hybrids of old time and new music coming together. The future is going to be very strong for music here in Illinois. I would love to see it continue. It is a rich, rich resource.
Thank you, Chris Villillo and Dennis Stromat. We appreciate you joining us. Our series exploring Illinois connections to the country's 250th anniversary. Thank you to Illinois Humanities for partnering on the series. To find out how you can celebrate the 250th anniversary across our state, visit Illinois250.org. That's IL250.org.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. It's a pleasure.